Good evening, good evening. It's not really, not sure, it's not really the place, but perhaps it is. So I want to share with you two things. I had the wedding in my sister. This person I was having at Chinese restaurant, Fumi Yid in America. Did you hear this, my sister?
Chinese restaurant.
The Fumi Hamish Yid in America, you know, in like New York, there's a Chinese. And did you hear the story?
Is this a true story?
A true story. And I just think it's really something to think about. I just heard it today. He was driving past in Purim. Just before Purim, he was driving past and he saw this Nebuch, this Yiddish his restaurant is completely empty. He's about to close shop, literally, because nobody's going out to restaurants. And if you're going to a restaurant, last place you're going to go is to a Chinese restaurant. But he drove by, and Nebuch, the owner, is about to go bankrupt because nobody's gone there for. So instead of doing what most of us would have done, just driving past and worried about their own lives, this Yid parked, and he gave him a couple of $1,000, and he says, "Can you just send some shlachmon for people in quarantine when they're locked up?" And he left him some money. He said, "You know, just find out who is unable to go around," and that's what he did. Not only looking after the owner, but looking after many other people who are unable to go out. And the reason why this is such a catalyst is because naturally, it's such a psychological truth in it. Naturally, what we all tend to do in such situations, naturally, so we all start to worry about ourselves. Yeah, we all go shopping as if the world is coming to an end tomorrow. We're buying more soaps and I don't know what for our grandchildren still to benefit from, and everybody worry about ourselves. All the shops are completely sold out down the stand of all the basic, because, and it's natural in a way, a person has to worry about himself. Of course you have to worry about yourself, of course, but it comes to a point that you have to like realize that the world is not just about yourself. You have to like kind of think about others around you as well, and I think that's the guidance of this individual whose name I have no idea who it is, but it shows what Yid is really meant to look like. I just thought it's Goinish and it's beautiful. I just want to share that with you. Something else I heard today from a Shem Ushalais, I knew there must be something, and I felt last week, I don't know if I mentioned, I felt there must be something we can look up in previous Torahs. And indeed, the Usher Weiss, I heard the share today, and he points out that it's a letter Rebbe Eger wrote approximately 200 years ago when the cholera, the Black Death was spreading. And Rebbe Eger writes a letter there, and it's quite unbelievable what he writes. He writes exactly what people, it spread very quickly, and it was very dangerous indeed. And he then gives some instructions. And amongst the instructions is to keep a certain distance. He said the minyanim shouldn't be more than 15 people. And that was against the contemporary understanding of those days. He understood that it's better to have 15 people in a minyan. He said you should put a policeman there to ensure not more than 15 people go in a minyan. That's what he says. And it says people should keep a certain distance. People should be very hygienic. People should wash themselves regularly. Should change clothes regularly. He writes all kind of very, very interesting points, which is very much in line with instructions we are getting nowadays from the. But then he writes something else. It's the va'ikah, and the main thing is shalai lidoik. That's what he writes. Va'ikah shalai lidoik, and he says because not to fear, not to freak out. So va'ikah not to freak out. He said it's really important to carry on with the simcha, with the geshmak, and to be happy. He said because there's nothing worse than falling into that trap of fear, of the uncertainty, of to fall into that whole hype of what's going to happen tomorrow, and to say that's the ikish shloim lidoy klal. Whilst the person has to take the necessary precautions, but not to worry too much. I thought it's something which I thought was amazing. Right? Okay. Okay, so we are up to Siman Tov Ayin Gimel. We discussed in Siv Hei a lot of the Tov Ayin Gimel Siv Dalet. We went through the Ka'orah. The Emes has said we're going to go back to the various items in the Ka'orah. I decided against it because I want to move on, because most of the points we're going to discuss, because everything in the Ka'orah comes up later again. So therefore, I think it's worthwhile speaking about it when we actually speak about the actual relevance. So let us carry on. I didn't quite finish the sieve. Well, in the middle of Seif Beis, in the middle of Seif Dalet, let me just finish it before we move on tomorrow, which is Seif Hei. So, Simon Tov Ein Gimel, we are 1, 2, 3 lines from the top. It's still talking about the Ka'orah a little bit. The meat which is on the Ka'orah is a Zoya, which is a Zoya. Is that what it's called? Champagne? Yeah, is that what it's called? Yeah, it's, yeah, so they could, yeah. For Nagu Shaboso Yetzoli, Ala Gecholim, the meat that we put on the Ka'ora is roasted, Ala Gecholim. Doesn't have to be literally on coals, can be directly on the fire too, but it has to be roasted. Va'beitza, and the meaning is that the egg that we put on the Ka'ora, Tiem Evusheles, then is cooked. So no raw egg, but it's going to be cooked. Well, in Sluya, you can also have it a little bit roasted as well. V'chenoyagimbeirenu na is a general meaning to have the egg a little bit roasted as well. We put it on the fire, that there should be a bit of roasted sign on the egg. Right. Now, Sifei is going to discuss the Mora. Now, the Emma says, it is really not the most expected place to speak about Mora, because we're still before Kiddush. We're still at Kiddush. Really. But since we're discussing all the items which are on the Ka'ora, and we happen to have mentioned Moroil, which is laid on the Ka'ora, on a Seder plate, so now we're going to move on and speak a little bit more about Moroil. In reality, the mitzvah of Achilas Moroil is going to be a little bit later. But since we're discussing the Seder plate, which also includes the Moroil, we're now going to go into further details of Moroil. How do we fulfill mitzvahs? Moroil. Eliyarkis, bottom line, Sifei. Eliyarkis, shoyt, sebe, the chavasai. These are the vegetables that we use for moroi. Yede chavasai. What are they? So, first of all, it's chazares. What is chazares? Chazares is what many of us use for moroi, which is romaine lettuce. Anybody use romaine lettuce for moroi? Is that what you do? Yeah, it's very common. Second option is ulchin, which is chicory. Anybody uses that? It's not as common. Tamcha, horseradish. Does anybody use horseradish? Yeah, a bit of horseradish. Good, okay. And then, chachavina, which is endives. Anybody use endives? I've never seen anybody use endives. For more? Yeah, they look a bit like chicory. I think it's very similar. Yeah, very similar to that. Perishmina asovimorim. These are all types of. Pardon? They are very bitter indeed, yes. Perishmini asovimorim, they're all bitter herbs. And then the final option is moroir. Now, there is a actual vegetable which is called moroir. So we've got various options listed over here. May lettuce, chicory, horseradish, endives. And the last one is a vegetable which actually is called moroir, but we don't know what that actually is. So, since we don't know, we can't use it. Mishnah Musaf Cotton Lamed Gilm, bottom line, Yedei Chavosoi, Roitze Loima, Yedei Mitzvahs Moroi. This is in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Moroi. Lekaim Adeksiv, to fulfill what it says in the Pasuk. Al matzos morim yoichluhu. In order, that's the way we fulfill the mitzvah of al matzos morim yoichluhu. Ve'achshav she'elonu Pesach, and nowadays that we don't have a korban Pesach, mitzvahs moroi einu lemidrabanon. The mitzvah of moroi is only midrabanon. So moroi nowadays is only midrabanon, as opposed to in the times of the korban Pesach where it was a deraisa. The Mishnah Berurah also adds of here when it comes to the Morish, Kshem She'ei Noitze Matzah Gzula, just like you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Matzah if it is stolen Matzah, similarly also, Kach and Noitze Morah Gzula Gozul, similarly also you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Morah with stolen Morah. So make sure, they're not very expensive, is it? But make sure to pay for it. Okay, now, let's carry on a little bit. Top of page 166. V'yoitzim ba'olin shalohen uvekilchin. With all those moroi options, you can fulfill them if with its leaves, the leaves, uve klochen, and with its stalks. Avaloi besharish, but not with its root. So there's always going to be a root, there's going to be a stalk, and then there's going to be its leaves. You can fulfill with the leaves, you can fulfill the mitzvah with a stalk, but you cannot fulfill the mitzvah with its root. The root is not even considered a meichel. You cannot fulfill something which is not a meichel. It's not an oichel. Elo, but shebaolin ein yotzin alayim keinim lachin. When it comes to the leaves, you got to make sure that they are a little bit fresh. It need to be fresh. Uve kalochin, but when it comes to the stalk, yotzin, you are fulfilling the mitzvah. Bein lachin, bein yevashin, whether they are fresh or whether they are slightly dry. Avaloi kvushin, but not if it's pickled, veloi shlukin, not if it's boiled, veloi mvushalin, not when it's cooked. Right, so we know now they need to be, if you're using the stalk, it can either be fresh or not so fresh. When it's the leaves, it's got to be a little bit fresh. Finally, v'chulam etzdaf mil chazais, they all add up for chazais. That's a very important halacha, which means that in theory you could have a little bit of horseradish and then a little bit of romaine lettuce. Half, half, together makes up a chazais. You do not need to be makbit to have just one of them, the whole chazais. You could really add up from a few. That works. Actually, let's just do this as well. Ve'ikir ha-mitzvah b'chazeres, the main mitzvah is fulfilled with a romaine lettuce, with chazeres. Ve'mein lo chazeres, but if a person doesn't have romaine lettuce, yachso achar rishon rishon, kefi hased shem shnuyin, if you cannot have romaine lettuce, then do it in that particular order that is mentioned earlier, with after romaine lettuce, it follows by chicory, after his horseradish, and after his endives. But the ideally one should use chazeres first. Why chazeres? Why is chazeres the best? It's strongest. Would you argue that it's stronger than horseradish? Oh, very good. That's it. That's absolutely correct. And the Mishnah indeed points this out in Sif Cotton Mem Beis. Why is romaine lettuce the preferred option? Because Shuzeich Sif Cotton Mem Beis Shuzeich Leshibud Mitzrayim, because that has a very specific and particular remembrance of what happened in Mitzrayim. Shetchilos Irach V'Lesoif Kosher. It was initially soft and afterwards hard. And that is the when you eat lettuce. The first bite you take, it has a little bit of a sweet juice coming, a tiny bit. And the more you chew it, the more bitter it gets. And that's why this chazeres has an additional mile than all the other moros. With horseradish, from the first bite, it's not particularly sweet, is it? So therefore, the chazeres is better. They're all going to be bitter. They're all going to be bitter. They're all bitter taka. But there is something, there's a sweet element to it as well, which is very good. So that's very true, actually. So I want to speak about, let's just see the Mishnah Berurah Sif Cotton Mem Beis. What is the preferred options nowadays? What is taka the best to use nowadays? 2020, what is the best ideal way of fulfilling mitzvahs moreh? Is it with horseradish? Or is it with lettuce? What is the best? So Mishnah Berurah over here gives us quite an indication. As far as the Shulchan Aruch is concerned, he prefers lettuce because it's sweet at the beginning and afterwards it goes better. Mishnah Berurah adds an additional element. He says as follows: V'cheinu gam teva chazal shetchilas mosi b'sefma kos va'achoinim ta'afilu b'yoyk k'tzas yoyzim mishamoroi gam keinochel lehad achav. The Mishnah Berurah says, in the name of the achoinim, that even if it's more expensive, it's better still to have lettuce rather than horseradish, because it's a hiddur. It's a hiddur to have first chilasoi rach v'levosoif kosher. It's better. Even if it's a bit more expensive. Ochein, however, kosu, the Achronim also write that shemin chazeres hanu salatin, with the salads, with the lettuce that we have nowadays. Motzi moit, it's very common. B'mea Pesach, it is very common during the Pesach season. Toloim ktanim, with little worms. She'einom nikorim lechalu she'yayin, which are not recognizable for people who've got poor eyesight. How can therefore, mi she'ein loy, anoshim yuchodim, people who do not have experts designated, bal yira, people who have got fear of heaven. Shev dakenu kiroyu, check the letters properly and thoroughly. Toiv yoyset is better. Likach tamcha, to use tamcha shekoyin chein, which is called chein. Afshu shlishi, lefi aseda, although it's the third one in the list, and we learned earlier that the higher in the list, the better. It's the third in the list. Nevertheless, it's better to use that. Ki cholilele kosheil, it would be terrible, chas v'sholom to be over. Pela mishum kiyum aseda rabonon, it would be terrible to be over on the lav, in order to fulfill the Rabbonon. Befrat, especially, Shef Shalekayim, Shneim, Alad Yitamchad, you can fulfill the Rabbonon beautifully by having horseradish. So the Mishnah is slightly unhappy about using the horserad, about using the Romaine letters. And he says, letters, I understand, of course there's a mile in having letters. Of course there's a mile. But, if there's even a slight percent chance, to be over on Toiloim, it's better to go for horseradish. Of course, if somebody's very experienced and is very good at checking, it's fine, but unless you're 100% certain, you're better off using horseradish. Chassam Sofer, I remember seeing in a minogel Chassam Sofer, so they say Chassam Sofer was makpid, not it was taki, he would be very nervous about it. I think other gedolim as well. Chassam Sofer only used toloim, was very nervous about toloim. He would never eat, anyway, I think all year round he didn't have lettuce. And he wouldn't have letters on Pesach either, on Moa either. So it'd go for horseradish. It's very, yeah. It is quite a lot, yeah. You say, there is, there is another problem with letters as well, the Chazon Ish. I think Mishnah Berurah might have held of that, but the Chazon Ish holds that the letters also needs to have it needs to be bitter. Chazon Ish holds that there needs to be tam amarius in the letters. It's not always the case. Especially fresh ones are sometimes not so, they're more sweet than bitter. According to Chazon Ish, not yotze moreh. If it doesn't have any tam ariris. The emes is, apparently, so I hear, if you buy the checked letters, yes, often, true. But if you do go for the checked, if you go for the pre-checked letters, then very often there's a bit of a problem there. I don't want to cause additional problems, but I just want to mention that. Very often they don't let it grow for very long. It's normally quite fresh. And they do it for good reason, because they're worried about worms and toloim. So the longer they let it grow, the more chances it is that it's going to be infested. And therefore they tend to cut it off very quickly. What it ends up being, because they're worried about toloim, which is very fair, very good, excellent. Nevertheless, what ends up, as far as Mo is concerned, according to Chazon Ish, not Yotze. B'Shem Zalman didn't worry about it. B'Shem Zalman felt that if it's Romaine letters, you don't have to lie, it's fine, don't worry so much. But Chazon Ish felt it really literally needs to have tam mariris, befiv. And that with the pre-checked, often that's not the case. There would be a strong argument, therefore, according to Chazon Ish, it would be a strong argument to go for horseradish. Yeah, but remember that it's only mitztaref zeh bezeh. You're going to end up, if you need to have a kezayis, you need to have a full-fledged kezayis. Now, if you have full kezayis of horseradish, and you add a bit of lettuce as well, very nice, very good. But if you have half a kezayis each, and you want to be choshed for the shit of the Chazon Ish, then the truth is, ends up that you're only going to have half a kezayis, and that's going to be the half a kezayis of horseradish, unless the lettuce has got a strong taste of marius as well, according to Chazon Ish. So yeah, now a word about the pre-checked. I'm trying to be honest. There's people who don't there's people who feel that some experts who are very into checking and know how to check very well, have got strong masoros, they feel that it's not, I don't know, whatever your wives do, I'm sure they know what they, some feel, just Gideon mentions it, some feel that it's easy to check the ones out there. Some shops, I don't know the differences between various shops, some of them are much less infested than others. And if you check it thoroughly, the pre-check ones also need to be checked. All it does halachically is that it makes it from cheskas menuga to cheskas enu menuga. It makes a chazok that it's not infested, but you still got to keep an eye on it. I remember when I was freshly married, I lived in Sanedim Uchevet, and we bought a pre-check once, and we found quite a juicy, and I lived not far from a Moshevai. Moshe Mai, who's the world's expert in Etzel, you know, Moshe Mai, right? He's the ultimate world leading expert in Toloim. And the Hashkachas all go through his opinions. So I was very shocked about it. And I was really upset. We bought a pre-check one, which costs and it was Menuga. It was the color this. So I knocked it. It didn't live far from me. So I said, you know, I'm going to show it to him and ask him what's pshat in it. So it's probably quite a rude thing to do, just in hindsight. It's quite a rude thing to do. But I brought him that salif and I said, look, this got your hashkocha. It says that you don't have to check it. And then I said, look what I found over here. Look what's in here. I'm trying to understand what's pshat in it. And then he explained to me something interesting. He said that you have to realize these are massive areas of they grow these in huge areas. And he didn't mind, by the way. He didn't seem to care about it. He was very happy to share with me his knowledge. And he said, you know, there's a tiny little hole of a finger size hole in these nets. They're covered with nets, these very, very dense nets. And he said that it's just a tiny hole. These are hundreds and hundreds of square meters. These are huge areas of huge fields. It could just be a tiny, tiny opening and it'll be infested. He said it could just be a bird going on it and, you know, with its, claws and, you know, and that's it. You've got a hole there. And he said, whilst they check it daily and check it regularly, it's inevitable that sometimes you're going to think, he said, but it doesn't, he said, halachically, there's a halachic, the factor here that now it's not called, it's a chazoka, there's a chazoka that you probably won't find anything in it. Doesn't mean that you won't find. I mean, there's a chazoka that you won't find. Still going to keep an eye on it. And it makes a halachic big difference, but it doesn't mean that you realistically won't find anything. So that's what he explained. We said it's an ongoing challenge. It's a very, very, very hard to keep it completely controlled. So halacha l'maaseh, one has to make sure to really, really, really keep it really, really, really. Yeah, I don't know. The ulshin, the chicory. Don't know. It's hard to get hold of. Emma says it is more. There is definitely a bit that I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know why. Third, it's the first one is Chazayas, Remain letters, Ulchin Chikri, Tam Chos Radish. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know why we don't go for it. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, but I do want to stress the opinion of the Chazon Ish, which is perhaps not so well known, that if you go for Remain letters, besides the fact that all the checking issues, you're also going to make sure it's got a bit of a bitter taste. That's what the Rav Shlomo didn't hold of that so much, but the Chazon Ish was makpid. We've got a Sofek Darabonon over here, so you probably want to fulfill it in the best possible way. Pardon? We're not saying it's also. We're pointing out, we're saying that there's a hiddo. By having Remain letters, there's a tremendous hiddo, that it's first sweet and afterwards goes bitter, which is a great thing. But at the same time, there's two, on the negative side, is there's two chesoinas, two disadvantages. One is what the Mishnah is concerned about, that you've got to make sure it's really, really, really no toloim. If a person chodile would eat one, you know, you've messed it up much worse than you've gained. So you have to make sure the cleanliness of the letters, point number one. Point number two, we brought the opinion of the Chazon Ish that if you go for letters, you're going to make sure it's got a bit of a bitter taste. Yeah. And the Ramah will finish off with this first line in the Ramah over here. If a person doesn't have any of those options of the rockers, any of those options of the of Moray, yikach lano, a person should take a lano, or isha yerek ma, or any other bitter vegetable. What is a lano? What is a lano? I don't know. I don't know. The Halacha also doesn't know what it is. Mishnah Berurah is also, he doesn't quite sure what a lano is. So, we don't know. And in the Bikiyim, we're not quite sure. I just wonder, I'm just looking at this Mishnah Berurah, Seif Katan, Memhei. And I wonder, Mishnah Berurah ends off saying that we're not quite sure exactly what is really the vegetables which are considered ma. I wonder perhaps that would also go into chicory, therefore. We're not quite sure. Is there a few types of ulshin, maybe? We can't fully rely on it. There's a suffix in it, and therefore we don't go. I don't know. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Einu bekiyin kokach pasimonim eli." We're not quite sure exactly what are the correct mores, so that we only go for the ones that are established and well known, and we've got traditions in it, messiahs in it. But certainly don't go for the lano because we don't know what the lano is. Bialocha has got a long, extended bialocha over here on the side, discussing what a lano is. He's not sure what the mores is referring to. To summarize what we learned this evening, we learned mitzvahs moray, and we said there's various options that you can fulfill. It's either the Chazayas, the Ulshin Tamcha, Chachavina, or a Moroi. We said you can either use the stalk or the leaves. Don't go for the root. You're not eating with the root. The stalk is anywhere you can be eating with the stalk. When it comes to the leaf, make sure it's still fresh. We discussed that Moroi is the Rabbonim Bizman Hazeh. We discussed that ideally go for the Chazeres because that's sweet at the beginning. However, the Chazeres got two chesoinas, that it's two disadvantages, that it's, you've got to check it very carefully, as well as Chazanish's opinion. It has to be fulfilled. If you can't do that, then go for the horseradish. And then we spoke, there's other options, well, which are considered bitter herbs, but since we don't know exactly which ones they are, we leave them alone, we go for the ones which are established and we've got strong messiahs in it. Okay, I wish you a very good evening.